I have three apologies, two from the Democratic Alliance and one from the ANC of members who are sick. It would be to look at our program, because I think it's quite crucial. The work that you want to report on, Alliance for Children's Entitlement and Security, so that we look at our future meetings and check where you can have the benefit of imparting the message to a full component of the population. So if you see us being depleted today, it's no disrespect shown, but people have got to serve as two or three portfolio committees. So at times they tend to look at the program. I'm even surprised to see Joe here. Because I normally have to run around and prioritize several committees because they have fewer members. So the fewer members a political party has, the more doubting the challenge of servicing all. But as I said, I'm just waiting for Mrs. Matuna to test. Then we'll start, good folks. So there she comes, and welcome, ladies. I'm very happy to see Comrade Matebe today. You can see my house is very depleted. But like my old comrade said, you always arrive when the need is greatest. So welcome. Good folks, I would like to welcome especially the good people who are going to make the presentation on the work that they do in regard to children and the nexus that it has with the department. I'm informed that this is not the practice throughout the nine provinces, but there's this nexus in one province, that's fine. So obviously if it's a good model that works, we'd also encourage the department to facilitate the rollout in other provinces, if that's possible. But let me not prejudge the presentation, but welcome the presenters and also welcome all the officials from the department and the stakeholders who come and see what's happening in Parliament so as to report to the broader South African public. You are all welcome, good folks. The presenters, I'm not sure who's starting off, but all I can say is that we are in your able hands. So as you commence, you can introduce yourself, what function or portfolio you play, and then we'll do the listening. As somebody said, nature gave us one tongue and two ears so that we might speak less and listen more. So we'll do the listening. Thank you, good folks.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the Chair, honourable members, our colleagues from Home Affairs. Today we're very privileged to be sitting before this committee, and albeit a depleted committee, the Cape Town weather has this horrible tendency of making people sleep in, so we will do our best. I will quickly introduce our delegation, and there will be three parts to the presentation. I'm the Executive Director of the Alliance for Children's Entitlement to Social Security. My name is Kevin Rousseau, and part of our delegation is Sanya Bornman, behind the computer. She's our Policy and Development Officer. And on my left is Bukawa Boko, our communications coordinator. Sonia, I'll ask you to kick off with an introduction, at which point I will get into the Enabling Documents campaign. It's one that we've been working quite closely with Home Affairs, and Bukawa will continue that part of the presentation.
Thanks for that, Kevin. Good morning, everyone, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Thanks once again for this opportunity. All right, a brief introduction to ACCESS. The Alliance for Children's Entitlement to Social Security, or ACCESS, short, was formed in 2002, and a couple of NGOs originally galvanized around a single campaign, which was the extension of the Child Support Grant to 18. We started off with about 100 members, and membership has now grown to approximately 1,300 children's sector organizations, and we find our members in all 9 provinces of South Africa, which makes us particularly lucky as an NGO. Our secretariat is based here in Cape Town, in Plumstead, and our member organizations include rural and urban-based organizations, community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, other NGOs, and even social service providers and research institutions. These member organizations also serve as a diverse range of subsectors within the children's sector, including health, disability, early childhood, education, and many other subsectors. ACCESS has a vision of a South Africa where government and civil society, as well as caregivers and their children, work together effectively to realize what we call a comprehensive social security package that respects the dignity of all and delivers on children's rights to enabling documents, social assistance, education and development, healthcare, food and nutrition, as well as basic services. Our objective is to make children's rights to a comprehensive social security package a lived reality through advocating and facilitating coordinated models of service delivery. An example of such a model would be the Enabling Documents campaign, which Bukawa will speak more about. Also advocating for improved policies, laws, and service delivery through regular submissions to Parliament. Monitoring and evaluating the implementation of such laws and policies and service delivery. And also identifying pioneering collective responses to emerging challenges and opportunities in the area of comprehensive social security. We're also proud to provide specialized policy and advocacy training and supporting our member organizations. How do we work? The ACCESS Secretariat is, first and foremost, a coordinating body. Through member consultation, which we value very highly, capacitation and mobilization, we facilitate and pilot models of coordinated service delivery. An example of this would be our jamboree that we used to have a couple of years ago, where we bring a whole bunch of service providers to one point, and community members can come and access a range of services at one particular point, all on one day. We also facilitate and implement coordinated advocacy for improved laws, policies, and services. We articulate our members' advocacy positions at high government level. We do this through consulting thoroughly before we make submissions to Parliament. We also facilitate advocacy opportunities for our ACCESS members, and the Department of Home Affairs can attest to the fact that when we first met with the Director General a couple of years ago, we brought some of our ACCESS members along so that they have an opportunity to engage directly with people at the highest level. We also monitor the implementation of the laws, policies, and service delivery programs on behalf of the Alliance and feed this information back to them. So what do we mean by comprehensive social security? The idea is that we must adopt an integrated approach, childhood development. One cannot focus on a single aspect or even various aspects in isolation of each other. We see this especially if we look at a campaign like education. ACCESS has an education campaign, but as soon as education becomes your concern, you soon realize that children can't learn on empty stomachs, and so food and nutrition become a natural progression of an education campaign. And very soon, linked to that, you find that you've developed an interest in early childhood development, and in this way, the ACCES programs have grown. We realize that we must deliver to pregnant mothers, babies, children, and their caregivers an integrated social security package comprising social assistance, enabling documents, health, nutrition, water and sanitation, early learning, education, and psychosocial care if we are really to see to the needs of children in South Africa. We advance our vision through the following projects. The first is promoting a comprehensive social security framework, which is what we're doing here today. The second is widening the reach of social assistance, and the most recent win that we've had in this regard is the extension of the Task Force grant to 18, which we are delighted with. Then we challenge barriers to social security, and it is within this project where our Enabling Documents campaign finds its home. We also promote access to education and development, and we are currently running a pilot project in Messina. So if we were to look at the access model, this is what it would look like in pictorial terms. Access engages with the government in turn engages with access. We take the information back to civil society, and we listen very carefully to what our members have to say and what their priorities are before we formulate our campaigns and programs. We also facilitate direct consultation between the government and civil society, and we've been very lucky to very often have government representatives attend our workshops and meetings. And we're very lucky to have the ear of many a department. We also enable civil society members to engage directly with government at various workshops and meetings. So what our model aims to achieve when we speak about comprehensive social security is this diagrammatical representation of what it would look like. Many of these aspects are guaranteed in the Constitution. Some of them are not directly specified in Section 28, where we find children's rights. But we find that they are so integrally linked to, for example, healthcare or basic services, that we can't leave them out of our campaigns and our projects. An example here would be transport. Not directly guaranteed, but it's still something that without certain other rights can't be accessed. So this is what a comprehensive model would look like, and this is what ACCES aims to achieve for caregivers and children. I now hand over to Kevin to talk about the Enabling Documents campaign specifically before Bukawa gives us a more detailed outline. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the committee, the Enabling Documents campaign, in fact, the term Enabling Documents may not be familiar. It's one that comes out of a research report. And what ACCES, in its model of working with various civil society and other organizations, we generally will hold consultative workshops and then from those embark into some research. And our research into what the barriers were to accessing social security, I think we can all accept that Parliament and the government in general have provided a very wide social security net in South Africa. And it is therefore surprising that people cannot access grants or cannot access other rights and service delivery points. So this research came up, and we found after interviewing civil society, government officials, and community members, and sorry, just to mention that that report is in your pack, that we noticed that their key interventions would have to consist of a network of supporters, given that single government department or a single NGO would not be able to address the scale of the problem. So what are enabling documents? Enabling documents are birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates, and identity documents. And we'll know in terms of Section 28(1)(a) of the Constitution, every child has a right to a name, a nationality from birth, and the birth registration and the issuing of a birth certificate is the cornerstone of this right. So none of the other comprehensive social security rights are actually achievable if children are not registered from the start and if government is unable to plan for that number of children. So in terms of what enabling documents actually mean and why they're important, without enabling documents, poor and vulnerable children, in particular rural poor and vulnerable children, and their families cannot access the very services designed to be their lifelines, or they cannot engage in economic activities that can potentially end the cycle of poverty. Some examples include they cannot write matric exams. So although children can register and attend school, when they reach grade 12, They cannot write their matric exam if they don't have an identity document. They cannot get easy access to school or ECD centres, even at the earliest stage, because they're not registered. You cannot register the birth of your baby if you haven't gone through the proper procedures. Cannot qualify for free basic services, so grants, healthcare. They cannot open bank accounts, cannot get driver's licenses, and also cannot benefit from public work programs. And by the time people reach 18, if these series of enabling documents have not been attained, they then lose and cannot even vote. So the scope of the problem, generally the Home Affairs Department has been increasing its footprint, providing mobile sites, providing more physical infrastructure, but there are still pockets of problems in the country. So how big is the actual problem? Disadvantaged and vulnerable communities in rural areas are particularly at risk because of the vast distances, low population density, and our experience and research has consistently shown that significant numbers of poor children and their families, especially those living in marginalized rural areas of the poorer provinces, encounter greater difficulties in obtaining enabling documents. Also in the context of HIV and AIDS, these problems are further aggravated. And what are the primary causes then, Chair and members of the committee? The big one is the lack of knowledge. It's not so much the availability of the right or services in question, but how do people, ordinary rural communities, understand how to navigate the documentation requirements, applications, procedures? There are also a number of factors that result in a very legally complex scenario. For example, we have cultural practices in the country, so naming rituals that can delay the naming of a baby and therefore delay the registration of a child. There's historical marginalization within communities, which has resulted in multiple generations lacking documentation. In rural areas, it's not uncommon for a grandparent, a parent, and a child to not have any form of identification. And also the close proximity to the borders of South Africa results in large numbers of migrants and refugees, which adds an even further complexity. Because people who are South African who do not have ID documents effectively lose that status. They become meshed with all the other foreign undocumented people. There's also a lack of consistency in the interpretation and applications of procedures and requirements by administrative agencies such as SASSA and Home Affairs. A lot of our report has led to various interventions which are fixing these problems, but these great requirements actually make it quite complex to navigate procedures. There's a lack of access to paralegal and legal support, so even if there were enough documentation and information, these are legal type of processes, and people often need the support of a paralegal to allow them to navigate through this. We also mentioned earlier there's a lack of physical access to the sites of service delivery in question. Now, this is a historical legacy of where particular sites of Home Affairs were located. And as I mentioned earlier, mobile sites have assisted in that. But still, a physical space where one can get these documents is always an ideal. So in terms of picking up these problems, Access then embarked on a specific intervention in KZN. And the district picked in KZN was picked after a scoping exercise where we were trying to find where are the highest levels of unregistered children, where are the biggest difficulties. And if this particular province was picked, and this particular district, Mkanya Kude, was picked, because if we could achieve successes there, then we could achieve them in other places that were not nearly as bad. And what we have done then is conducted through a partnership between district, provincial, and national level governments, local paralegals, and community service providers affiliated to the Access Network. We've brought people together to deal with the issue of birth registration. Obviously, this is designed to access the enabling documents, but also to assist people to receive their grants. And the objective for the intervention is ultimately that this can be duplicated in other provinces and be complemented by a provincially specific communications campaign. Before I hand over to Bukawa, we found that our research and similar research conducted by Home Affairs, as well as this project and the current National Population Registration Campaign, have found great areas of synergy, which we are constantly in dialogue with taking forward. So I'll hand over to Bukawa.
Thank you.
On that note, I guess I also need to say thank you very much for the opportunity. Yes, it has been a very long road in terms of us having to do all the work that has led to us coming to make this presentation this morning. Yes, in terms of the idea of working together, we said that there are really many agencies that are working and organizations that are wanting to improve access to enabling documents, especially birth certificates for children and ID documents for caregivers or sometimes their families. We have identified who they are and worked together within that framework, designed to maximize the potential of each network member and the potential of the network as a whole to improve access. Because what we have realized and picked up is that in the very same areas that we're working in, that you will find out that there are absent generations. For example, the mother might be absent, then the grandmother has to take up the responsibility of making sure that the child gets registered. In the process, then that means that the parent who is alive is supposed to be coming up with all supporting documents, like affidavits, meaning, therefore, it sort of emphasizes the facts that we have raised earlier on that it takes more than one department to solve the question of making sure that the child gets access to the package of services that are available from government. Last year, what we did was to set up, as part of the growth of the campaign, was to set up a national task team which looked into the duties of what the campaign is supposed to be doing and then what each department is supposed to be doing. So what we did, we gathered together and then brought together different role players who would make sure that they are going to be enhancing what each and every role player was coming to bring on the table. We came up with examples of innovation using existing campaigns, using existing systems. For example, what our people were saying, including government departments that were working together, was that within local government, for example, if we are talking about the utility account, and then it would be imperative if you print the message of making sure that you register your child within the first 30 days of that child's life, that every person, every citizen is getting to know this message, and then the message gets repeated, meaning at the end of the day that all departments are going to benefit, because once that message gets consumed and repeated by all of us, it is easy for it to be multiplied, and then people will be seeing the results that we have all been envisaging. So we thought that with us also working at the same time with the community development workers, it is also easier, because once they do their door-to-door campaign, they pick up most of these cases, and then these pockets of poverty tend to be brought into our attention by the very same people who are doing the work. The specific interventions, we have been building a multi-party community outreach campaign which has seeked to link people in vulnerable communities and their applications to Home Affairs. A number of mini jamborees, because what we have done, we have been engaging. We had brought Home Affairs from the national office to Umkhanyakude, specifically. Umkhanyakude is in KZN, and it's one of the district municipalities in KZN and up north. So we have been bringing the government to the people. And then once we have left the area, there has been other intervention strategies as well, such as people and other community partners had also been capacitated to assist with the resolution of problems in getting birth registered and in obtaining identification documents. In so doing, we have been enhancing the community level in terms of access to justice. The network partners have served as a vital source of information for Home Affairs service points. That has in fact even resulted in people organizing mini jamborees within their villages. So what they will do, they will bring other government departments, including the Department of Home Affairs, on the mobile track, and then it will be a one-stop shop kind of an event whereby services will be brought to the people. And that didn't need much organizing, because it was taking place at that particular village and everybody was playing, taking from Indunas to the ordinary people of that. The partners have tracked problems experienced within vulnerable communities and share that regularly with Home Affairs, so that there is ongoing responsiveness to the problems experienced. So what we have done, we have been trying to make sure that we are keeping the lines of communication between ourselves and the other government departments open, especially Department of Home Affairs. And we have got a designated person whom we are working with in KZN, for example. And it has been easy for us, for example, when community members, because what we do, we always leave our contact details behind, saying to people, if you want to contact us in the future, go ahead and do so. So they will phone saying that in our area we have got a challenge, who do we contact, and then we'll always refer them to the right official in the province who would respond and then look into the needs of the people. The established network size of support and service delivery in relation to enabling documents have also done some work through the training of our partners to increase the community level knowledge of and access to enabling documents. What have we always been advocating from over and above the fact that people need to have access to enabling documents was the fact that we needed to all do citizen education, because all of us needed to own the citizenship, to be proudly South Africans. Because once all of us understand why it is important to become a South African, then it is easy for people to keep and retain and look after the citizenship, rather than finding situations whereby people will sell the citizenship for anything that comes their way because of reasons that we don't even need to mention. But we have been saying that once we start training our own people, and then those very same people will go and train other people for them, and then the word will always go out there. We've been supported by a very strong communication strategy within the relevant community, advising of the importance of birth registration, how to do it, and the availability of the services or the support that is relevant to our partners. The community outreach campaign has been complemented by a coordinated advocacy campaign to support the Department of Home Affairs in identifying and prioritizing the rollout of services to the most vulnerable. Of course, when we go to these areas, people will always talk about the poor of the poorest, or the deep, deep, deep rural. So when we ask them, show us the deep, deep, deep rural, and then they will show us, and then they will take us. For example, in one of the field trips that we took when we were in KZN in the district, we went to as far as the borders of Mozambique and Swaziland, whereby we could identify people who were working and living in those very same areas. One of the officials from Ohuma says took us to there. So it was also easy for them to see the extent of the challenge, especially with children and other families that would come in to come and get the grant on the South African side and then cross the border again to go and go back to their areas. So the interaction, and that has also been an eye-opening experience for us, because it has taught us to also understand that the difficulties that they as the department are coming across in making sure that they are controlling all these ports of services as well. Partners are also advocating, I know I've got a very huge voice, and this team is making it even worse. Partners are also advocating for the duplication of a coordinated model nationally. We have realized that in terms of our research, because that is what has fed us into coming and doing some work in Mukhanyakude, was that the Eastern Cape, the Limpopo, and the KZN were three of the major provinces whereby we had identified the lack of enabling documents. And when we started working in Mukhanyakude, already other provinces were saying we are needing the same. We were saying, of course, we can only do that once we join forces with the other government departments. And we are just awaiting that. And then so far, the Department of Home Affairs has sort of got on board. And of course, we need to have an integrated approach in terms of how are we going to make sure that this very same campaign is rolled out to all the other provinces. Of course, as Kevin has said earlier on, that will be in support of the NPR campaign that the department is already embarking on. We have trained the trainer that form part of our broader advocacy campaign. And to date, over 300 participants in the district have got our manual, have got our certificates. They are doing the work. That was why earlier on I was talking about the rollout and the mini jamborees that have been organized by people whom we have trained. For example, people will gather and say to Home Affairs, we have got 20 children who are needing certificates. And then Home Affairs will go to those people and register them and make sure that every necessary document is available, which is something that has been done by our members prior to them bringing Home Affairs on board. So far, everybody is understanding what each role is in enhancing the campaign. Things are happening. The community members have participated with the knowledge around enabling documents, the law, and how to access government services. That has formed part of the content of the training, that we were looking at the Bill of Rights, we're looking at why it is important for one to have a right to an identity or to a nationality or to a document or to a name. We have capacitated our members with a specific focus on the delivery of information, looking at the whole question of the of increasing birth registration and access to birth certificates. Then the message, what we have been working around the message was that we did not want to say anything that is contradicting what was in existence in terms of what the Department of Home Affairs was saying, because we didn't want to send mixed messages to the public, because we know that the public can consume the, all these various messages, and then that will result in us not getting the what we were thinking. So we were looking within what is already in existence, but we were also taking into cognizance the fact that we need to look and answer 5 questions. But once we have looked into the 5 questions, we considered the 6th question, which had the cost. Because if we're looking at those 5 questions, we say, why is it important for one to register the birth of the child? And how does one go about doing so? And where are the service points where one can get the facilities, and what can one do if one wants to, is not satisfied in terms of what we're looking at? If you are wanting to appeal the situation, where do you go? Who do you talk to? And where do I go, and what do I do if I have a problem registering the birth of my child? And then the 6th question was incorporated because what we did was to take a scenario whereby an ordinary person has to take more than one trip to go to a service point of the Department of Home Affairs, and then there's a taxi, there's so much that is involved, and then it's not that we're not going to be running away and shy away from that, because once a person isn't sure of what documents are to be brought on board, of course the person will have to take more than one trip to the nearest point. For example, now recently we have been doing some work in Mdubatuba. Mdubatuba is between 30 and 50 kilometers from Shusuwe, where the nearest office is in KZN. So meaning that even for our members to come to our meetings, we have to give them plus minus 40 rand for the taxi to go there. So you are thinking that an ordinary person who does not necessarily form part of our network, who does not have the 40 rand, and that person has to choose between buying bread to sustain the family or paying 40 rand for a taxi, is that fair? So what we say is that let us look at ways together with the department whereby we can try and bring the services even closer to the people. Hence, we are saying that the mini jamborees that have been organized jointly have really yielded the results that we have been wanting. We have tried to embark on the communications already using the medium of the various media that was available in the area, the community radio station, which is the Maputaland community radio station, whereby we bring the Indunas, they talk to the community members, we talk as well as access, and then we got ordinary people, because what we have been saying is that we do not want to own the message. We wanted the community itself to own the message, so that when people are hearing a voice of someone whom they can relate to, it makes it easy for them to do what that person is saying, rather than Mukelo, who is coming from Cape Town, or speaks isiXhosa, who does not necessarily have a very good Zulu accent or English accent. And then the message gets trivialized in the process, because the person needs to interpret what I was saying in isiXhosa over the Zulu radio. So once we started doing identifying those kind of challenges and differences amongst us, it made it easy for us to package our message and make sure that it's an ordinary person who is well known in the community, who can speak to the people, and then so that we can get the results that we wanted. We have tried to get a couple of articles in print media. The comic strips were some of the education material that we have also been using, because we wanted to simplify education, making sure that whoever is reading our pamphlet or our pen can relate to it, can easily interpret it without having to use words within the context. And the messaging on popular brand products that are consumed by targeted vulnerable areas. But there we were saying that if you could get business to buy into the concept, to even make it easy, because we know what are the popular food that people are buying. Once we can get the buy-in from the sugar, for example, KZN is popular with sugar. And then in the sugar packages, then we sort of like print messages that are going to be educating people about the citizenship, about being a proud South African. Those will be some of the key results that we are wanting to see happening in the future. Of course, that will only happen once we know that we have got a national rollout of the campaign. The both of the key contact points, including antenatal services, that we have done and that has been a success, for example, we have trained matrons, we have trained the lecturers from the nursing colleges in KZN at the district level. We have printed our material. Our material has been endorsed by the department, and they are working together with us. So what happens is that the pregnant mothers attend the antenatal clinics and then the prenatal clinics as well, and then already by that time they know what they're supposed to be doing. We have our posters also flying at the borders, the Kolela border and the other border, the Onsorvak borders, or some of the few borders where we have managed to reach and put our posters on both sides. So far it has even been easy for people to be able to access our stuff through the Department of Education and other departments. Local government has also been playing a very pivotal role. To date, we are providing new opportunities in the field of promoting and protecting citizenship data. Two distinct levels of engagement have emerged. One, on the level of one, there is a community-based task team which brings together role players to identify community-specific problems. This task team also provides recommendations and solutions. The second is a high level of national task team which looks at broader issues around legislation and policy. We had a meeting last month. Thomas and Mr. Ramashia from the department were part of that national task team meeting, which was in Gauteng, whereby we were looking at means of course, rolling out the campaign. So we're supposed to be doing certain things that we are going to be keeping people abreast. We have hosted 10 enabling document training workshops in total, in KZN only, and the number of people trained in the first level of training is 310. So far, everything is going according to our own schedule, with and without the support, of course. But the network of support that has been created is receiving the increased support from government departments. The success of the campaign is driven by two motivating factors. On the one hand, we have capacitated network members, and they are now able to use newly acquired knowledge to make the best use of state services. And the second one is that is the realization by organs of state that civil society is often better placed to network state services to remote and marginalized communities. Because we were saying that we can never afford to work in silos, and we don't have any aspirations of doing government's work, but we would very much love to assist where we can with our limited resources, of course. The need for your support, basically what we're wanting to work together in have a better relationship with the Department of Home Affairs. We want to take the Umkhanyakude experience further than Umkhanyakude. We want the buy-in of the ongoing departmental support and resources, and then we want the scalability and sustainability of the project that we are hoping to get from the Department of Home Affairs in particular. But that does not exclude other departments, of course, like the Department of Education, the police and SASA. On that note, then, that is the end of our talk. Thank you.
Thanks, Goodfoot. I now avail the opportunity to members comment, questions. Welcome, you are the first mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation, and I would like to apologize for getting late on the arrival this morning. So I was from the airport and I came straight to here. I would like to thank the presenters for the wonderful presentation that they've given to us today. And I'm actually quite pleased because they are talking about the work that they're doing at Umkhanyakude, and it happens to be one of my constituencies in KZN. And I just want to say that I have noted here from the presentation that most of the things that you are mentioning are things that I've experienced also when I deal directly with the people there. Things like where you will find there are elderly persons who still do not have an ID because of different reasons. Maybe the documents were burnt down during the times of violence. Others do not know when they were born. They will tell you, I was born Neskati, Wagunumkushanu, Chile, and they don't know the year exactly. And I'm happy that you are actually touching on the enabling documents, because that is the main problem that I know. You say and people end up, yes, having these multiple trips to the office, not knowing exactly what it is that is supposed to happen. And the fact that you are working with the Department of Home Affairs and you are working with other stakeholders that are also involved in the same work that you are doing. But I want to know where exactly, how does a person reach you? Because I don't think the community, especially I'll just take Umkhanyakude, let alone the whole of KZN, just Umkhanyakude as an example. I do not think maybe people know where you are, where they could come and reach you, because we still have a lot of those problems in that area. Maybe if you could give us exactly where we could reach you, so that when we go back to the people, you can tell them that you are there and you are there to assist them. And I just wanted also to know, I was going to ask if you are working with the other department apart from the Home Affairs, because this is a bigger problem. It's not just a Home Affairs problem. Maybe if we could know that also. And for now, I'll just ask those questions. If there's anything else that I can think about, I will also ask the question again.
Thanks, Mama. Aheme.
Yeah. I would like also to thank you for a comprehensive presentation. But my concern is one. Last week on the TV, I think the program on the Cutting Edge, where there's a challenge of the children being abused on the farmer. I haven't had access talking about it. Also, question of disabled children. I don't know whether it's one of your issues you're supposed to do. The third one is the street kids. What about them? Because I mean, really, here in South Africa, we have a challenge where by every corner of this, where there's a lot of street kids around. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Master. Shall I be gender sensitive and go to Honorable Joe McClure?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank the organization for the presentation. It is really quite impressive, but I have a few concerns and questions as well. Concerning the 1,300 sector organizations, I would like to know where are these organizations situated in the country. And then also, I think they will agree with me, if someone sells bread with another bread under their arm, it will be difficult for me to buy. I see that there's also a surplus for both 2008-2009. I would like to know what is their view or their take on that as far as the surplus is concerned. It's almost a million rand. And also on their financial management in terms of their report. I've also noted that they have a clean bill of financial reports, but what is clearly lacking for me is the word unqualified or qualified. I would like to know as far as the auditor reports of them, whether it was outright qualified or unqualified audit reports. And then also the enabling document campaign. I must say that it's a good initiative, but what is lacking in the report is a report on the numbers. I think as a committee we really inquisitive to know what is the numbers, because that is directly linked with this department, with Home Affairs, so that we as members of parliament can also go out and encourage these people, you know, specifically where you find it, like in urban or areas where people don't have access, as explained, we are going out there in constituency period, and we can go out and sell this idea as far as it is concerned. And then a very, very important issue that has been raised or in their report is the education. I am very inquisitive to know what the number of the education hotline is. Reason being because myself, very active and involved with school principals, various schools, with keeping back reports. So if they can also just submit that number, the education hotline number for us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mayor. Honourable Mayor Peterson, Mathieu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to also to say thank you for the wonderful presentation you just gave to us. I've got just a small concern anyway. Is there any monitoring and evaluation done concerning the disadvantaged and the vulnerable, especially the disabled people? Because I didn't hear you speak much about persons with disabilities. And the second one, where are you really situated? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, members. I think that's a good point to take a break so that we give the presenters the opportunity to respond to the comments and questions. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members, for the questions. I'm going to go through as much of them as possible. I'm sorry, I haven't picked up all the names, so I'll just go first speaker, second speaker, third speaker. The first member, how does the person reach us? We run a hotline, which members can call us. I must admit it's not as popular as the presidential hotline, but we can be reached on 021-761-0117. And that is with relation to the secretariat in Cape Town. In KZN, there is a existing task team, and Bukalwa will definitely be able to give you direct contact to people on that steering committee. There was a question about work with other departments. We do work with health, education, various other departments. I think also interestingly enough, our colleagues at Home Affairs picked up that they needed more support with us linking up to businesses. So if we're looking at death certificates, how do we work with the funeral parlors, for example? So it's government departments, but it's also key private stakeholders who are also involved around enabling documents. To the second member, questions around children being abused, and it's very good that you picked up these questions, especially around disabled children and street children. We're working with all children, and Access has various other programs that deal specifically with child protection and disability, but in particularly with this case of enabling documents, one cannot actually access those other services if you actually do not have your citizenship status protected. It becomes very, very difficult to actually gain support to disabled children or to child protection services. So we are looking at this as a cornerstone and something that one needs to have as a fundamental baseline. Once you have that, you can actually link up and refer the other services to the children. Questions from the third member. In terms of our 1,300 sector organizations, they are all over the country. Some are sector organizations, others are research institutions like the HSRC, Children's Institute. We're a very broad-based alliance, so membership is free and voluntary, and people bring in their expertise. They come together based on specific campaigns, and they'll bring their talent at that point. In terms of our financials, the term surplus does come up. We are an NGO. We receive most of our funding from overseas. And what you will actually see as a surplus occurs because our financial year for auditing purposes and the time that we receive money from overseas do not overlap. So, for example, if we receive money in April, that goes on till the following April. So come February, when the auditors come along, all that future money gets put down as a surplus, but it actually is not a surplus of money that we have in addition. We have recently, however, received money from Treasury through the VAT refund process, and that has been put into investment accounts which pay for projects where we are unable to receive money from overseas.
So at the moment we're engaging with many engagements with the disability sector, in particular the Blind SA, who we met last week. And although we don't have project from money from overseas to do that, we're able to go into our own reserves to do it. You'll also find that if we have a community-based member, getting them to Parliament to make an oral submission is nearly impossible, and getting funders from overseas to pay for that is also difficult. What we would use our strategic reserves for is to bring members up to do that sort of intervention. In terms of our financial reports, and you have picked up rightly that we have a qualified audit, reason being, as most NGOs, the problem of the financial year and when money comes in. The qualification from the auditors came around the fact that they couldn't say without a doubt that somebody could have walked in and made a donation of 500 Rand and that we had recorded that properly. So although they could record large sums of money, they were not sure if somebody made a small personal donation, were we recording that to an extent that was acceptable. They weren't comfortable with giving us an unqualified audit, but the qualification was specifically around that issue. In terms of the Enabling Documents campaign and numbers reached, and it's a very interesting question, because one of the difficulties with not having a full range of birth registrations is we can never really predict fully how many people are unregistered. Only when they're registered can you figure out who's getting what services and others. But the estimates are as high as 32% of people born in KZN, this is young children, are not being registered. The estimates of older generations who haven't been registered has not been done. It's a much harder projection to do. So, but we are looking at setting targets instead. The target for the Mkanya Kude project is that we will have an increase of 40% in birth registrations around children. And the target in terms of the national population registration campaign, which we're working strongly with Home Affairs, is that at the end of this year, everyone over the age of 15 should be registered. And the old concept of a late birth registration for people over the age of 15 should effectively fall away. We would love to have every South African over the age of 15 who does not currently have their birth registered by the end of this year. The education hotline number, I do actually have it on my computer. I can pull that up for you, but I don't have it obviously at the moment. And in terms of, you mentioned reports, and it's quite interesting, we have that problem. Every year at the beginning of the year, our hotline does become a little bit more popular because parents are trying to register their children into schools, and then you find the situation where a principal is withholding a school report because those parents haven't paid fees. It's less of a problem now that we have no fee schools, but still, principals do that. They hang on to it. And what we developed was a template, a reporting format, so our members out in communities can actually use this to fill up the name of the principal who is involved, who had caused the problem, and we would then give it to the Department of Education for further investigation. But if someone calls us on our hotline, our staff will actually call up that principal, they will call up the department, they'll make it happen, and they'll spend a whole day just to fix one person's problem. But generally when people call us, we're the last line. They've tried everything, so when they do call us, they're very desperate, and we do our best to make sure that they can get their services. In terms of questions from the fourth member around MNE, we do have monitoring and evaluation tools in all of our projects. They do pick up disadvantaged, vulnerable children. In general, our foreign funders have been very interested in orphans and vulnerable children. So around the context of HIV and AIDS, they've been far stronger monitoring and evaluation requirements. They are less so around disabled children, and that is a situation we're trying to rectify by actually speaking to members of the disability sector. We are situated, the secretariat is in Cape Town, in Plumstead, but our members are everywhere, but I think it's safe enough to say that if you wanted to look at a specific access project, then the Cape Town office would be the one that you would approach. Thank you, Chair.
In terms of our physical address, most of our publications, if not all, have got our address at the back, but we are in corner of Gabriel and Main Road in Plumstead. At Gabriel Place, corner of Gabriel and Main Road in Plumstead, and our telephone number, of course, is the same 021-761-0117. The question of the of our presence in KZN in Kanyakude District Municipality. Yes, we do have, we have set up, during the launch of the campaign in July last year, we have set up a district task team comprising of the five local municipalities that are forming the district. So we have got people from Mhlabialingana, Dubaduba, Big Five Municipality, Shalisa and Chuzin. So we have got local municipality members that are working there, and then the NGO and the CPO networks that are also functioning. I will supply you with the contact people for each municipality we've got in place. The very same, what happened is like five people per local municipality. So they formed a district which is now 25 members, and then five of those 25 people are serving on the national task team.
Just a word on the education hotline. It's a very time-consuming service that we provide, but it's a very necessary one. And we would like to continue doing it in future. And in fact, we would like to establish a toll-free line. And we've been trying to do that, and that's on the cards this year. And in the meantime, while we're trying to set that up, the normal office line can be called. And that telephone number is 021-761-0117, as Kevin mentioned.
And what also happens within the hotline is that most people have got cell numbers, but they do not and cell phones, but they do not have airtime. So what we request them to do, if they want to talk to us, is that phone our office and then give your telephone number and your number, and then we'll phone you back. So which is what we're doing all of the time. When most people leave messages, we respond immediately when we can and when we are in town.
Thank you. I see there's a follow-up from Honourable Members Matuna Peterson and Comrade Matthew.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a small question. I just wanted to know, from the number of people being trained, how many women and youth do you have? Thank you.
You will never be...
Let's take the questions first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. Follow up on the issue of education. My concern is that the media of this country believe that most of the children in this country are not schooled. So I don't know how we're going to deal with that issue. Because really, if you can just read or whatever, look at the program in the TV, believe that most of the black children are not schooled in this country. And another question is question of I have seen on a presentation, a gonogram of access, I don't know how to work. Thank you. The third one is question of how do we deal with this child trafficking, because there's also an issue that we are facing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Matthew.
Yeah, Chair, just from my side, again on the hotline, I can assure you that you are going to have tons and tons of calls at the end of this year. With my involvement, I have experience. Chair, there's this other thing about waiting time for applicants. I would like to make it also known to Access that this Department of Home Affairs has done their utmost best, even to an extent that we're having a waiting period of 6 weeks now. Is Access in any way, is there any effort from your side to shorten the 3-month waiting period? We are lucky as the community having that patience for the 3 months, getting your money back paid. But I just want to know, can we shorten the 3-month period for to be assessed?
Thanks, members. Your chance for a rejoinder, good folks.
For all interest, it's amazing that primary caregivers for children tend to be women most of the time, and the training component of the capacity is always, I would say, 99% women. Yes, we do have men who are working from organizations, for example, in KZN, we've got Africa Center social workers and other social workers that are men that are coming from the Department of Social Development. But yes, amongst a group of 90 people, you will find out that 80, or if not 80-something, is women. So we are really like capacitating, and we're not necessarily looking at girl children. We're looking at children in general, both boys and girls, because once we don't capacitate those boy children, then they are going to become a challenge to the society at the end of the day. So we make sure that our education is mainstream in terms of gender.
I think just to add to that, Chair, I think the problem generally with dealing with children in the country is that we don't have enough men wanting to be trained and to take responsibility. We always have more than enough women who are willing to come forward. In terms of the question around education, the issue that the media believe children are not schooling, I'm completely in support of that. One of the major problems we have in education is that we're using international benchmarks which require that we monitor education enrollment. So effectively, once a child is registered, we can then provide a great statistic and say 99% of children are enrolled in primary school, and it's about 98% in secondary school. And then we know that there's a major dropout between grade 9 and 12. The last 3 years of schooling, a lot of children drop out, and it's about 24% of children will drop out at that point. The difficulty with that statistic is it doesn't talk about attendance. So once you've registered, you can say 99% of children are in school, but are they attending school every day? And that's where the bigger issue comes in. So our media are correct that children, especially children in the black communities, are not attending school to the full extent of schooling. So while they might be registered, they're not gaining the maximum benefit of services. It's linked to many other issues, and it's, for example, on days that there are school feeding, there's higher attendance than on days when there's no school feeding. At the moment, the National Schools Nutrition Program provides 3 days of schooling per week. So there are certain areas where one can actually improve the attendance. But the other big issue is that the quality of education in black schools in this country is atrocious, and people are disillusioned with what is happening. We have these models of excellent schools in the country, and then we have these schools that are in a sea of mediocrity, and that needs to be resolved. But it's something that the education department, through its roadmap for education, the 10-point plan, there are various other plans, and I think that what I would like to highlight is that it is a crisis, and what we can do within this field of home affairs and social development and other departments to work together to make that system better, and the sooner we can do it, the better. In terms of the organogram of our organization, we haven't actually provided one, but we are, as any other nonprofit organization, we have a board of directors. They are registered as a Section 21 company, so we have a chair, and they deal with the governance of access. The actual secretariat is very small. There's 10 full-time employed staff. From time to time, we will have interns, we'll have volunteers, and we also have, as I mentioned, the great numbers of members that we do have, so they bring in additional capacity. But the actual organogram of the organization, we have three sort of units. You have two of them represented here. We've got policy and development. They deal with submissions, law reform. We've got the media coordination part, which deals with community mobilization, dealing with the media, generally network liaison work. And then we've also got the training unit, which works in the process of developing training and working around that. And the rest of the staff are generally in support of all of these particular units. In terms of child trafficking, it is a major problem for us. And I think we can all accept that it is an area in particular where the police services will have to be directly involved. But what we're trying to do in our model of intervention, so whether it's enabling documents or education or wherever we go, we leave a task team of people who are champions of their community, people who can use existing forums, existing links to work together on an issue. So if we go into Mkanya Kude and we tell them the issue is enabling documents, and they tell us actually the issue is school uniforms, we will allow that task team to deal with school uniforms as well. We won't stop them from doing it, but we will also provide as much support around the issues that they pick up. In Mucina, the problems there at the moment are around xenophobia because of the closeness to the Zimbabwean border. So they've also been experiencing child trafficking issues, and what we've been able to do is set up a task team that, although it's dealing with the right to education, is going beyond that and dealing with child trafficking. I just need a little bit of clarity, Chair, about the waiting time for applicants. I wasn't sure if that was with regards to ID documents or grants, for grants. Okay. I think in terms of that, what we've been trying to do within Access is, again, arm people with as much information as possible so that when they head off to the SASA office or whoever they're going to, that they actually just go there once and everything is put in order. It becomes very difficult for any government department that has rules to follow to bend the rules if someone is missing one or the other document. But in terms of the actual waiting time, what we have done consistently at Access is provided people with complaint mechanisms, because generally if things go wrong, people want to toy and have a protest. And we've said, well, this is what you do. If you've been waiting for 3 months and you want to complain, this is who you call. Or call us and we'll call them for you. So trying to use more formal complaint mechanisms to improve service delivery. And we understand the challenges every department is facing, so we are very compassionate to that. But whatever we can do to allow them to improve, we will definitely do that. But the key thing is for us to educate the public, to make government work easier.
Thanks. We have heard from Access the work that you do and your interaction with the department. But we also have the department in the house and different officials representing different agencies. So it would be interesting to hear how you relate to Access or what's the broader picture.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. I think the challenge that we are faced is that we didn't know what is it that we would be expected to say. And therefore, we came here because we have been participating from the original process on initiating this campaign for Mkanya Kude. Now, we had to come because I think that the committee would also note with excitement that as Home Affairs, we've got this National Population Register campaign, which we have noted that it is not different from this particular campaign. And we therefore wanted to hear also what is it that we can do just to strengthen our working relationships, because we are a component of government. We are a component of the state as part of the government, and therefore we're expected to work with the civil society and to extend the stakeholder relationship and strengthen it. Therefore, our participation here was more of coming to actually listen and after that go back, strengthen the areas that could have been recommended, especially from the input by the members, the committee members. Thank you.
I agree with what you say, but I would just imagine that amongst you, are you saying that there's nobody who knows directly about the work that they are doing? There's no one who can express an opinion about the interaction in regard to Access, the work that Access does? Or are you saying that you are exactly in our position as members of Parliament? You are getting a report from them as to what they are doing.
Person, what I am saying is that currently, as it was reported, in our campaign, the National Population Register campaign, we have also included Mkanya Kude because it was initiated by the ASA, and therefore we could not see ourselves working outside, but to strengthen the relationship.
And we are therefore saying, in the process, there could be other things that they could have mentioned that we as Home Affairs, we could have not actually attended to. But in their input, everything that they have indicated, majority of it, it's something that within the campaign, the national campaign, we have identified. The national campaign is more of all the enabling documents. But this one, when it was initiated, it was dedicated to children. And with the Home Affairs, we do have those forums where in different sectors are participating, including those that are representing the children. And therefore, this information that they are sharing with us, especially in Kanyawute, are some of the issues that we have actually identified. I must say that in our midst, we also have the person that deals with the campaign, who is the head of the campaign. And Chairperson, as I indicated, the mandate that we got from the department was to come and listen to the portfolio committee, their input, if there are any areas of improvement or any areas that we have picked up out of the presentation that would require Home Affairs either to improve the relationship or to further work with the access in these particular areas that could have been identified as challenges. We have taken note of all the questions that were raised to access. We don't see them as questions to access, but they do relate also to Home Affairs, and we have noted them. And in our own processes, we will be also facilitating, making sure that this kind of information, in particular, where there was issue of data as statistics, we will also look at that. The relationship of Home Affairs with other departments, because it's not access only, but also Home Affairs with other departments, because those departments are dependent to Home Affairs. And that is the actual gist of our campaign. And we are therefore saying that the person for now, maybe if there was any information, because currently we are trying also to bring the resources into Kanyawute in that project. But I would not want to speak on behalf of the head of the campaign who is in our midst. I'm just speaking broadly as a department. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I think the opportunity should be available to the person who's responsible for campaigns. I would like to hear what you have to say about campaigns, because campaigns are not theoretical. You have policies that are formulated by the government, and you have to implement those policies. So what I'm asking is, what happens practically on the ground? Access is but one of the organizations that's operative in the various provinces. So just an oversight, overview as to what happens in regard to your campaigns. What are the challenges, what are the failures, what are the successes?
Okay, I think the starting point will be in relation to the question you raised with regards to the type of relationship that we're having with Access. At this stage, we are not having any memorandum of understanding. However, we have had some preliminary discussions with them, seeking to establish a structured relationship with them. So we're pretty aware of the good work that they're doing, in particular in Kanyawute, which opened our eyes in relation to the campaign that we're embarking upon at present. When it comes to the issues that relate to the challenges, there are quite a number of challenges that we're experiencing, because as they've rightly said, that one of the key challenges that are found here is your deepest rural areas, which are inaccessible, because the key issue here, probably I'm not too sure as to the rationale behind their name, but I presuppose that the word access talks exactly to the challenges that are faced by the department in accessing those communities where we are unable to reach or we do not have offices. Hence the concept of mobile offices, where we seek to go to those deepest rural areas and provide basic services into the communities. But you will have those challenges that relate to the knowledge of the presence of the Department of Home Affairs at the level of communications and publications becomes a serious challenge. Where knowledge has been there that we are coming, sometimes people are not bringing those basic documents that are required for them to be able to access those particular services that we render as a department. But we're trying our level best in partnership with all, not only access, with all the stakeholders, traditional leaders in the communities, various government departments, youth formation, any structure that you find there, we work in collaborations, but through the vehicle of the district municipalities, because we think local government is the one that is closer into the communities when we try to reach out.
Thanks. I'm sure that sheds more light for members. If there's anybody else in your delegation would like to comment on any other thing, we still have the chance to do so. Let's take you, sir, and then we'll come back to you, ma'am.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. My name is Thomas. I'm also from the Department of Home Affairs. Yes, our experiences on the ground are that most people really, especially in deep rural areas, are in need of our enabled documents, and particularly in deep rural areas. However, the challenge is the access to deep rural areas. The roads, when you get to schools, at times it's very difficult to penetrate deeper. The other point that I'd like to add is, as an effort from the department to reach such areas, we've decided to procure some 4x4 vehicles that will be used to go down and pick up the applications, and therefore we'll be able to process them. The second challenge is the non-response to those people who come to the department, who take applications, and thereafter, after we've processed applications, they no longer come back to the department to collect the IDs or the documents. That one is still a challenge. We also need to work closely with communicators, the structures, particularly at the district and local municipalities. As my colleague has indicated, there are these issues of stakeholder forums, wherein I may cite examples of in KZN, Chisong, Eastern Cape, who also established a forum, OR Tambo, Mpumalanga, and Delmas. And there are a number of those that the government is also planning to formulate throughout the country. So in terms of achievements, yes, we've seen a lot of benefit from this campaign. And we're also working closely with the department, with other national departments, for example, Department of Education. We've signed an MOU with Basic Education. It is in place, and right now we're at the stage of implementation. We are also about to sign an MOU with the Department of Health. We've looked at the contents of how we can work together. They've also agreed to say we will work together on those areas, particularly when they are about to roll out their programs on nutrition, etc. So I would like to dwell more into the details, but yes, there are achievements as well as challenges on the ground, but we're working closely with our district municipalities to make sure that the civil society gain the benefit of Home Affairs.
Thank you very much. Another chance to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just wanted to share with the meeting that Home Affairs have a directorate which deals with issues of children, issues of gender, issues of disability, and issues of youth and all other diversity issues. And therefore, that has created an environment for Home Affairs to also participate in the intergovernmental structures that exist where we are sharing this kind of information. We are currently looking at customizing the Children's Act into the Home Affairs, as you would also be aware that the Children's Act is the Department of Social Services is the custodian of this act, and therefore there are sections on the protection, prevention, and early intervention of children where Home Affairs then is actually participating and also making sure that the Section 28 of the Constitution is adhered to. So the communication is continuous in the different meetings, in particular of the children. Those interdepartmental, it's where we share this information and also update them on what is happening. We are very fortunate because Home Affairs forms part of the core department in implementation of this act, and therefore we time and again share the information. And because we are sharing this information, we get the opportunity of interacting with the provincial representatives from these departments, and also an opportunity to interact with the premier's offices, which are dealing with the children's rights. And for us, we see it as an opportunity for the interaction and the communication within the different spheres of government, because also the local government is also participating in those meetings. And including that is the other stakeholders, such as civil society and the NGOs, who are also members of those forums. And that is where we think we are able to share this information. And that has actually given us the opportunity, because we have money also, to even have interactions with the different homes or the centers where there are these children, and give them the information, and also make intervention when necessary. Where there are problems, we have been able to assist. Thank you.
I thank you, good folks. Now it gives a fuller picture. The department not only has a listening brief, but also an active brief. Comments, members? Mayor Makou.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make a request, and thanks for the input from the department. Because I was going to request that Access help me when I contact them with the problems that I have with the elderly. As much as I know they are only concentrating on children. But now the department has assisted me by saying that there are other ways that you can do this. So I'm also going to request a direct contact, especially in that area where the project is, at Mkanyahood. Like I said when I spoke in the beginning, that there is still a lot of elderly people who are around the age of 80 who are still not getting a pension because they don't have one document, but they are South African citizens. I need to be assisted on those, around those areas. So I will ask for direct contact. Thanks.
Thank you very much, honorable member. The other members, they seem satisfied. Tate Madua, you're right. Ma'am Martina Peterson, you're fine. Good folks, by the very nature of meetings of this sort, we can never exhaust all the issues, nor can we ask all the questions that we could have asked, nor can you proffer all the answers, because the challenges are ongoing. The more we deliver, the more effective we are, we become aware of further challenges. So our responsibility is to work with all of you, people who are involved in community-based organizations, non-profit, our government structures, departmental structures, in order to give a better quality of life to our people. This is what brings us all together here, this common objective to make life better for South African citizens. So when issues are raised, when criticism is given, it's within that context. How can all of us work together better as a unit in order to deliver for our people, make life easier? So members of parliament obviously come from all provinces in this country, and then they have constituencies in rural areas, in urban areas. So when we do our constituency work, the responsibility is to be alive to the challenges. the responsibility is to be alive to our failures. How can we improve our work? So even when we invite people to come and report to Parliament here, the aim is not just to get glossy reports from members of the public or agencies or even from people within the department. The main objective, the most important thing, is to get as accurate a reflection as possible. What are the challenges for us on the ground there in order to improve the quality of life of ordinary South Africans? That's the main thing that should bind all of us together. Improve the quality of our citizens, irrespective of political affiliation. People should be able to get the requisite services that government gives without the fear or favor advantage from officials. That's our responsibility at this level, to ensure that we carry out the mandate, the responsibility, privilege given to us by our people. So I can only say that hopefully it won't be the last time that we interact with excess, but as the department correctly says, there are a number of agencies that do constructive, positive work on the ground. And then you also make mention that you work in conjunction with a network of other agencies. So is this a common effort that we'd like to encourage, that we'd like to assist? So you can also tap on the offices of constituencies in the various provinces where you've got work underway. As the member said, you are currently doing work within a constituency. So it becomes important to liaise with members of parliament on the ground there and ensure that we can roll out services to our people. So having said that, I would like to thank everyone who has made this meeting possible. And more than that, I think we are walking in the right direction. If we all work together, we can achieve more. Thank you very much, Ms. Lucas. Sure. Working together, we can do more. It sounds like the slogan of one political party. A very good political party. Thank you, good folks.
I'm going to